Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We'll get back to your calls and back into the Falcons Town Hall. Appreciate everybody who's checked in tonight at 404-726-0929. Been a really fascinating conversation about the state of the team now that they've dropped to 4-8, and how close or how far away do you think just a couple of changes this offseason could get them back to where they need to be? We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to spend just a minute or two here talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson on the Wade4Jock hotline, talking about the Hawks. They are very interesting this season, 13-9. And Caleb, the last time you were on, I asked you about a Trae Young update. And since we last spoke, we got one.
Yeah, it seems like we've got a couple of more weeks before Trae is going to be reevaluated. And as always, you know, it's one of those things you do have to remind people, hey, when these announcements come out and they say a player is going to be reevaluated, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play. It's the same with the initial 4 weeks that we were given. However, this time around, I think if everything goes as scheduled, and from everything that I have been told, everything is on schedule when it comes to his knee injury, is that Trae could potentially return as soon as the 14th. That was the new game because the Hawks didn't advance in the NBA Cup. They added a couple of games. And so the 14th, the Hawks are taking on the Pistons at home. And so that's a potential opportunity for Trae to come back. They'll play at Charlotte on the 18th. I would assume they wouldn't have him come back at an away game. And then the 19th against the San Antonio Spurs is when the Hawks are back home that week. So one of those two, whether it's the Philly game or the San Antonio game, is around where I would expect. If everything is moving as we've been told, and as the doctors and everyone feels comfortable to have Trae continue on, then he'll be joining a Hawks team right now at a really interesting time, where I think it's going to take quite an adjustment because this team's been playing some really good basketball as of late.
Last couple of games, no Porzingis. Is this all part of the plan, or is this something different? What do we know?
No, it's been a bit odd, quite honestly, because it's tough. You can't make assumptions on things, and the information coming from the Hawks has been very tight-lipped and very general as to dealing with an illness sort of thing. Now, of course, if anyone reads The Athletic, they know about an article that was done on Kristaps Porzingis a few months back, where it was laid out that he has POTS, a syndrome that essentially makes it difficult for someone to stand up. And so sometimes the best method for them to go about living their life is quite literally to lay down. It caused Kristaps to have to change his diet and everything. And so we don't know if this is a continuation of that same illness that he's been dealing with. But regardless, like, the Hawks aren't finding themselves in a position where they're playing super poorly without him. And in fact, it's kind of been noted by a few different people that when Kristaps Porzingis starts games, the Hawks have, so far this season, they've been down by like double-digit points by the time they enter the second quarter. And so, it's one of those, if you want to start the speculation, you could start the speculation of, does Kristaps Porzingis even stick around the entire season? That's kind of getting to the extremes of things going on. But what I would say for the most part right now is that the Hawks are playing good basketball without Kristaps being there. And so I would not be in any hurry to try to rush him from whatever he's dealing with.
Speaking of extremes, let's stay on that lane since you brought up the word. How extreme is it to think that the Hawks front office is very closely monitoring this level of success as the sample size grows bigger, sans Trae Young?
Yeah, I think this was kind of always the curiosity, right? Quite literally, the Hawks opened the possibility of playing without Trae Young when they didn't sign him to an extension in the offseason. And so it gets louder when the team goes on and plays without him and seems to find a form of chemistry amongst one another, even if they, I mean, like, granted, scoring 142 points against the Sixers, you know, in double overtime, you're like, well, Caleb, clearly they're able to score. But I think the rate at which they would like to score and some of the shooting struggles that have popped up do kind of make you think, well, you know, it still feels like they need that offense that Trey brings. The real deciding factor, I think, is going to be what happens between when Trae Young returns and the trade deadline, and figuring out, hey, if Trae comes back and this thing gets worse, then, you know, obviously you can't have that, especially as a guy like Jalen Johnson has just been absolutely surging and really kind of running with being the face of this team without Trae Young being there. And so I don't think it's extreme necessarily to think that, you know, the Hawks are evaluating a life without Trae Young, but I wouldn't be too quick just yet, because you know, if Trae is able to return and gel with what is being built right now, then that turns into a, you know, a scary good team that could be competitive with the Knicks and the Pistons. You know, I mean, because you're down as many players as you were a night ago, and you lose by one to the Pistons. Like, there was a lot of things that Detroit obviously did wrong in that game and probably, like, should have lost because of those things. But I still, it's not enough to not think that, you know, this Hawks team could be competitive come postseason time.
Talking all things Hawks and NBA with our buddy Caleb Johnson, Hawks Insider. Make sure you check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast as well, for your, if not weekly, daily dose of Hawks basketball and NBA talk. Just 4-4 at home. Speaking of sample size questions, anything to that, or do we need to get a bigger sample size first?
You know, it's kind of been weird. You would think that, now granted, we'll say this, from the 4-4 that they have, you know, from the 8 games that they played at home, they haven't really gotten any home stands. It's not like the Hawks have been in town for days on end and have been able to get any form of consistency. And so far, I would say, you know, it feels like the majority of the season has been on the road. And in fact, Quinn Snyder has mentioned it a couple of times where even when they're home, you don't really have enough time to unpack your bags before you're in a new city. Like, they've been doing so much of play a game, travel the next day, play the next day, travel the next, you know, kind of thing, that I believe in the month of November, they played 15 games in 30 days, and 3 of those days in the month of November, they weren't traveling or playing a game. So that's the one good thing that's really kind of come out of this beginning stretch, is there would have been a really easy sign to point to if the Hawks had struggled coming out of the gate to be like, well, they don't have Trae Young, Kristaps Porzingis hasn't played a lot of games, and they've had to travel a ton. And yet, I mean, you know, coming out and having a 13-9 record, like, is pretty honorable, I think, to this point in the season, when you know some long home stretches are coming, especially right around like Christmas time and the new year. It should be really beneficial for them.
Speaking of where they stand right now, are you surprised by the way that Miami is playing in a positive direction, or more that Orlando hasn't been more dominant in the division so far?
I called Orlando not being a dominant team in the East. Like, I just, you can't have a team that is as offensively inept as the Magic were a season ago, add one shooter, and also, like, lose a point guard that I think, and Cole Anthony, that I thought added a lot to this team, and just think you're going to play better. You know, obviously, like, they've dealt with their own injuries as well, whether it's Franz, whether it's Paolo kind of being in and out of the lineup, but I just didn't think that Desmond Bane was going to be that big of a swing. I think the biggest surprise has got to be who the Hawks played on opening night. When, like, that Raptors team was a team coming into the year that I was like, man, I mean, who knows what they're going to be, because it's felt like they're just a collection of parts. And, well, that collection of parts has figured out how to play with each other pretty well, to the tune of, you know, being a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And so for Toronto to be up there, far more surprising than I think Miami, because I just think Miami's a really good coach team, and probably will come back down to earth at a later point. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how this Eastern Conference has shaken out so far.
Before I let you go, we know you're on the dog's beat for us as well, going to the games, getting all the sound, doing all the dirty work. So let's have some final context here. What do you think happens on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz?
Look, I think Alabama has had Georgia's number time after time after time. I am curious because I do think Kirby has done a good job at, hey, you know, you get us in the regular season and we'll find a way in the postseason. You know, just getting that second opportunity against the team. I think Kirby has always done a very good job at game planning and figuring out little things. I just think this Georgia football team is far better at this point than they were. Well, it was like week four, I believe, of the college football season when they played Alabama and lost by 3 points. And, you know, clearly the Bama that we saw, like it's a rivalry game, but I would say the rivalry game that the Iron Bowl was this year was far closer than the rivalry game in clean old fashioned hate that Georgia was playing against Georgia Tech, where it seemed very clear that Kirby was like, hey, we just want to run the clock out and get out of here with a win, and move on and try to be as healthy as possible. I have a hard time picking against Alabama when these two teams play each other, but I always enjoy, you know, being pleasantly surprised, and do have faith in a Kirby Smart coached team, you know, playing someone for the second time in a season.
Caleb, appreciate it. As always, we'll check out the pod and we'll talk soon.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right. That is our very own Caleb Johnson, Hawks insider, and slipping in a little Georgia question as well. When we get back, we'll continue the Falcons conversation, 404-726-0929. We'll also hear from Jalen Walker as he stopped by the midday show from the Children's Hospital. Really cool thing that Andy and Randy did. So we'll let you hear that conversation as well, as they were joined by a special guest. All that more coming up in a busy 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight.